Season 3, Episode 6, A Parent's Love. Welcome back, everybody. We just wrapped up Valentine's Day and all that, and that's where I'm at. If this is not where you're listening, that time frame, that's okay. You know what Valentine's Day is. And I was thinking back when my husband and I, you know, we always knew that, like, it's something we talked about, you know, before you get married, you kind of lay everything out for each other about, you know, I mean, it's part of the dating process of what, you know, this possible significant other will, you know, be in your life. Like, you know, if you, you know, if having children is an important thing for you, then you want to make sure that, you know, that person that you want to spend the rest of your life with wants to have kids, because that could be a big issue, that if one of you wants to have children and one of you does not. And when Paul and I met, we were talking, we both, you know, had, you know, expressed that, you know, we wanted to have a family someday. So check, that one worked out. And so we go on, we have our first child, which was a whole new world for me. You know, Paul and I made a decision, you know, after we got married, that if, you know, when we started our family and God was going to bless us with children, that, you know, it was important to us that I was able to stay home full time with them. And that was a decision we made, and we were willing to make the sacrifices and make that possible. We were blessed enough that both of our mothers were home with us full time to be moms. We were so lucky that, you know, our parents were in a position that they could do that. And, you know, we felt that it was something that we were willing to make the sacrifices to make that happen. And so I was in the Air Force at the time, and I quit my job. Like, I was pregnant when I quit, right? Or I got out of the Air Force. I shouldn't say I quit. I mean, I did. I had plans. I was going to, cause I was working as an acquisitions officer, and I was working in space, which I still love space. And I know I've talked about that, and I still follow what's going on in the space world. It's just amazing. But I loved what I did. But to me, it was so worth it to be able to be home and care for them, because, you know, my husband's a fireman, and, you know, he's gone for stretches at a time. So I went from working 12 to 16 hours a day, traveling, doing something that was passionate in my life, something I loved to do. And I loved being a part of the military, to caring for this child that I'm not a good newborn mom. I'll be very honest. I was not a good newborn mom. I needed something that was going to give me something back. And I know the love was great, but I'm like, I need to see that smile. I need to hear that giggle. I need to have that babbling going on, not just the screaming and pain or because of gas bubbles or whatever. And so I can remember the first time Adam smiled at me. It was right about 6 weeks, and I just about hit my breaking point because I was sleep deprived. I didn't recognize the shell of my body that was left after giving birth. I didn't, you know, I just was struggling. I went from a room full of people that wanted to hear what I had to say. I went from these meetings to traveling and all this stuff, working on something that I really loved, that I felt was very important, to this child that I cannot control. I had to completely surrender to his will. And sound familiar? And it was frustrating for me. It was a big shift. It went from working full time to being home full time. And it took me a few years, I won't lie, to kind of get that groove going. And right about the time I got that groove going, we had Jake. So I did not shift to that whole motherhood world very smoothly, but I wouldn't have traded it for the world. And I know how fortunate I was that we were in a position that I could do that. I'm so glad I was there for all those milestones, for the first steps, for the first talking. And my husband necessarily wasn't, because he was at work. He was providing for us. But I wanted to like focus on what it means to become a parent. The responsibilities that you have as a parent. You've got to make sure that that child is fed. I mean, especially until they, you know, they can't feed themselves. They can't cook themselves. I mean, I'm hungry. You hungry? You can't have your baby. And they're like cooking themselves a meal. Obviously, it's something that you're in charge of. It's keeping them clean, which is a battle I still have with my teenagers. They keeping themselves clean and hygiene, but that's a whole other thing. Cause why take the time to do that? To keep them safe, to make sure they're getting plenty of sleep, to make sure that they're getting healthy food, and that you are in charge of what's going into their bodies. You want to make sure that they feel love, that they feel cared for, that you're building that bond. You know, that's just like as that baby phase. That's just the baby phase. And then you're responsible for teaching them how to navigate life, even if it means painful lessons. It is so hard to watch our children struggle through tough times. You know, sometimes we want to be that lawnmower parent. And I know you've probably heard helicopter parent, where you just kind of, you know, you're always there. You're kind of hanging around, making sure everything's going okay. Okay, did you do this? Did you do this? And I'm so guilty of it. I'm so guilty of being a helicopter parent now and again. But sometimes they've got to make those bad decisions, because that's how you learn. We've all made bad decisions. That's how we learned, right? But sometimes you, as a parent, you really want to just, the lawnmower parent goes through and mows over all those obstacles and just makes a smooth path for us. But you know, in those most painful lessons and those most painful struggles that we watch our children go through, that's also when they grow the most. You know, being a parent means you've got to comfort them a lot. They're going to have heartbreak and heartache in their life. And it's so hard. They're going to have disappointment in their life. And it's so hard to watch your child go through that. And you're going to have to forgive them. And right now, I want to thank my mom and dad for all the times you forgave me in some of the very questionable decisions I've made in my life. And I mean, you got to come with a lot of forgiveness. It means you have to love them unconditionally. I can't tell you how many times I've told my kids, I love you, but I do not like you right now. That probably makes me a bad mom, but I love them unconditionally. But there's sometimes they really push my buttons. But from all of those challenges that I've had as a parent, and we've had as parents, there is not one moment that I would hesitate to give my life for them. And I know my husband is the same way. And I know if you're a parent, you feel the same way. No question about it. And that was one of the hardest things, and the first thing that came to our mind when I was diagnosed while we were in the hospital was, how are we going to tell the boys? It's a tough one when you have to deliver news like that, or that a loved one has passed that they had a strong relationship with. It's hard to do that. It's a tough thing to do with kids. And I don't think we give kids enough credit. And I know I've talked about this before, that my kids handled it much better than I would have. They were upset. They still have anxiety when I have scans coming up. I have anxiety when I have scans. I try to fight it, and I do, and I'm not doing such, I mean, I, some scans are better than others, but I, you know, as much as I try to surrender, I have to remind myself that I'm human. I'm a spiritual being trying to live in as a human. And it can be difficult. And it is difficult because we don't want to hurt our children. We never want to hurt our children. I had to give them news, and we had to give them news that I knew was going to hurt them and cause them anxiety and make them grow up much faster than I wanted them to. But I'm doing great. You know, I just actually had a MRI. I should probably count how many MRIs I've had, but I've had at least 25 at this point. But it's beautiful. It's, you still see healing, which is miraculous. You know, it's, you still see healing from the radiation, but you don't, but there's still no visible tumor. And that's fantastic. But you think about the way you're a parent and all the things you try to protect your children from and how you would never want to hurt them and how you love them so much that you're willing to take the teenage lip that comes with them or the smelly diapers or the struggles of being a parent because the joys of being a parent so surpass the struggles. Because I think about the funny stories. I think about what we've experienced walking their path with them and trying to guide them. And that's me being an earthly parent. Now think about our parent. And I'm not talking about our earthly parents. Because we all have parents. If you're listening to me right now, you may not have children, but you have parents. Even if you're an adult, you have parents. And they look at you always as that child. I mean, I'm sure my parents always look at me as, you know, maybe a teenager, maybe my 8-year-old self, but they had to endure, like, that was something I had to think about, is my parents had to endure that as parents watching me get diagnosed with brain cancer. They had to endure that. I only looked at it as, not that I'm their daughter, I looked at it as, I'm a mother and I need to take care of my children. Yet they were looking at me as like, I'm still their daughter, even though at the time, you know, now I'm 45. The time I was 42, is that right? I was about to turn 43. Yes, I was 42. No, I was 43, sorry, semantics. I was 43, but I'm still their daughter. And I think about that. And I think about that our parent is God. Remember, we are children of God. So all those struggles and all those things that I've watched my children go through, that my parents have watched me go through, that your parents have watched you go through, and if you're a parent, that you've watched your own children go through. God goes through that with us too. I listened to a podcast, and I've mentioned him before, Father Mike Schmidt, and his podcast has Ascension Presents. He also does the Bible in a Year. And when he prays, he calls God Dad. Like, I'm so used to calling him Father, Lord. When I pray, Heavenly Father, you know, he calls him Dad. And I love that. Because I call my dad, dad. You know, and I love that. Because to me, it makes it more intimate. When I call him dad, when I call him father, I feel like it's very formal. Heavenly Father. And he deserves that. But when I call him dad, it seems more personal. And he's our dad, and it is personal. He doesn't like to see us go through our trials. He knows they're necessary. We are his children. And I have to remind myself sometime that my kids aren't mine. They're his. They're his kids. That I'm so blessed that he gave them to Paul and I to raise. That's a hard one. That's a really hard one to process as parents because of all the things I listed that we are willing to do for them, how we care for them. They are placed in our care. However they get there, whether you give birth to them, whether they're adopted, however maybe they're a niece or a nephew that you feel like you are their parent, you are their guide here, but God is their parent. And God gives us the gift of those children to raise however they come into your life. They're a direct gift from our Father, our collective Father. He does every single thing that I listed before. He makes sure we're fed and clean and safe and rested and healthy and cared for. He makes sure we feel like he gives us guidance. He helps us along our path. He helps us navigate the struggles. He doesn't abandon us in those struggles. He forgives us over and over and over and over again and asks for nothing other than your faithfulness and that you love him above all things. He loves us so fiercely that he forgives everything. When we repent, when we say we're sorry and mean it and make changes, he never leaves our side in the struggle. You're never alone in a struggle. Just like your parents, I've seen my parents stand by me in a struggle. And as hard as it must have been for them to watch, they stood by me and were there for me. And just sometimes having that safety net's enough, just like we've stood by our children and just let them know they're not alone. He cheers us on. He loves watching us grow into what he designed us to be. He sent his son to be tortured, even though he was innocent, to be humiliated, and sent him to sacrifice his life so we all could be in heaven with him. And he knew we weren't going to be perfect. Just like I know my kids aren't going to be perfect. Just like I know I'm not perfect. But more than anything, he wants us to be in heaven with him. More than anything. But he loves us so much that he gives us the choice. He gives us the choice. He doesn't force us. He gives us the choice to be with him. That is love. And no matter how dark the world seems sometimes, and Right now it seems a little dark, but I see a lot of light. I'm seeing so much light through the darkness. You are loved in an incomprehensible way by our dad. You are loved in a way that transcends all understanding. Now, to close out, I want to share with you 2 Corinthians 6:18. And it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Right there in black and white, we are all his children. And you are loved in a way that we can't understand. Remember that as you carry on your day today, that no matter how bleak your day may seem or how wonderful your day may be, remember that you are loved in a way by all of our dads that we cannot comprehend. It's like getting a big hug, like a big bear hug from your dad. Meditate on that and think about that and help that to bring you comfort when you need it. Thank you all for listening. I'm Sarah Viosa, and I'll see you at the next episode of Surviving Fear.